How many of you have got your word? How many of you have used it? I used it 22 times this morning. Focus. Quit getting off track. Focus. Now, how many of you have seen the movie Hairspray? About everybody? How many of you have used Hairspray? You haven't, I know. Now, I was watching Hairspray the other night, and it just got to me. It was like I was watching it, and all of a sudden I started crying. And I thought, why am I crying? You know, over Hairspray, over this movie. Why am I crying over it? And it got me thinking that that took place, you know, back in the 60s. And a lot of stuff went on in the 60s. A lot of things happened. A lot of things took place. Things were changing and taking, you know, going along the way. And I started thinking about all of that and the prejudice that was in the, you know, in the movie. It was just, you know, that's what the whole theme was against the prejudice of the races. And I thought, you know, life has changed, but racism isn't gone. And that's what made me sad, was that it's not gone. And discrimination isn't gone. And it was like, whoa, this is, you know, something that we keep working for, and we keep working for. So I have a question for you. How many of you remember where you were on April the 24th, 1965? Naomi, where were you? I was just waiting for the day to be born. And I started thinking about the 60s, and in the 60s, so many things took place, and so many things got you know going. And if you look at your bulletin cover, it's of course tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Holiday, and we think about him. And Martin Luther King, he was born on January the 15th, 1929, at high noon. He was born in Alabama, and he graduated from high school when he was 15. He got accepted into college and was graduated from college when he was 20. He was ordained into the ministry at age 20. So you two, when you think about you're not very old, you have a lot of potential. And he was young. At 15, he graduated from college. I didn't even think about going to college till I was 20 or 30. Or 50. Actually, I was going to college when I was in my 40s, and you know, go that route. And so he had a lot of things going for him, and he was called to be a minister, and he got involved in civil rights movement early on in his years. But we didn't hear about him until he got into the 60s much, and he became well known for one of his sayings. What was that? I have a dream. He gave that at the foot of the Lincoln Memorial, and we remember it because it was broadcast, but he had given that talk many times before. And in fact, on that day, he had a completely different message that he was going to deliver. And he started in the message he had, and it just wasn't working. Now, those of you who have ever spoke, you can tell there are days when it just doesn't work. And today was one of those days when I, you know, it was like I was fighting. See, I've got to talk here and here, and I might use one or both or none. No. And because I was talking about it, and I thinking about, you know, the racial stuff that's still going on, discrimination, I thought, well, you know, I want to talk about Martin Luther and what was taking place back then, because he was a catalyst to get things going, but he got a lot of other people involved also in what was taking place. And, you know, he gave his talk, I Have a Dream, and it was a memorable talk. I mean, it was. But that phrase stuck. That phrase stuck. And certain people have phrases like that that stick. John F. Kennedy had one. What was it?
That's not what you can do for your country.
Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Mm-hmm. And so different things like that happen. Now, John F. Kennedy, he was involved, got involved in the racial movement. And now another question would be is, where were you on November the 22nd, 1963?
Not born yet.
You were born. You were in high school, yeah. Huh? You were three and you don't remember? Where were you when?
Where was I?
Yeah.
I was in high school. But I don't remember exactly
why. Oh, really? Oh, because I remember. I was a senior in high school, and we got on the bus that day and went to school, and I was in first period, the first class that I had woodworking, when there came an overhead announcement that John F. Kennedy, President Kennedy, had been shot in Dallas, Texas. And I was like, whoa. And so we went on to the next class, and then we got to third period, which was a metalwork class. I was, trying to do a lot of things with my hands back then. And so it was a metalwork class. And when we was coming out of the second period class, going to the third, the buses were all in the parking lot. And it's like, whoa, that's weird. So we get in third period, and then they announced that that John F. Kennedy had died. And so school was suspended for the rest of the day. And so we went home, and being a little kid, I wasn't interested much in politics at all, but this, I'd never experienced anything like that before. You know, the president of the United States had been assassinated, and it was like, whoa. We had a little radio, and my brother and I were down working, because we weren't at school, we were working on the roof of a guy's sheep corral that we worked on, but we listened to all the stuff going on. How many of you, you didn't do it because you don't remember. It's like, so forget it. But because of that, thing, we remember that. And me going on television and watching the motorcade and the funeral, a little John standing there and saluting the casket of his dad as it goes by. Don't cry. It got to you. But it sank inside of you. And I think about all the stuff that went on, the marches and that Martin Luther King had initiated and got going. And we're called to do the same stuff. We're called to be part of God's kingdom. And, and again, get in there. We get these callings. And like I said, Martin Luther King inspired other people like Rosa Parks. How many of you have heard of Rosa Parks before? Okay. She was in 1955, and she one day decided that, she was sitting on the bus, and somebody got on that was white, and they told her to get up and move to the back of the bus, and she refused to do it. She refused to do it, and she got arrested and thrown in jail. And she was going along that line, and so she took part in it. And so she was there. Another activist in that time was Malcolm X. He was another one that was a leader, stirring up, keeping things, the fires going. And he was also assassinated in February 21st of 65. And so there was a lot of violence in that time. At that time, I was in the Army Reserves, and I had joined the Reserves in 64, and well, 65, excuse me. I had gone to my training and stuff like that, and I got back. And when I got back and this stuff was taken on, our unit was chosen to be trained in riot control. And so we went out, and half of us would be the rioters, and half of us would be the us, breaking up the riots. And they taught us how to just break up a riot. And that's what our job was, because we were in the middle, so to speak, because there were riots that way and there were riots that way, but we were pretty calm. And so we were trained in riot control. And so Vietnam was going on at the same time. And so there were protests on Vietnam and there were civil rights protests and there were all this stuff. And so we were in the middle because we had pretty close, kind of in the middle, we could get there quickly. And we had to notify our employers that if something took place, we would have to leave immediately. And they had to put up with it because it was a federal thing. And so I had to tell my boss at Woolworths, I was a stock boy, this is important. If something comes up, I've got to leave. And thank God nothing came up that we had to deal with. Now, did nothing take place? No, things did take place. It was in May 12th of 1968 that the City of Hope started. Now, how many of you have heard of that? It was a time when they marched on Washington and they took the mall and they moved into the mall. It was called Tent City. And 3,000 people came on buses and stuff like that, and they basically took over the mall. Now, if you don't know what the mall is, you're not like, you know, going down to ZCMI or the Newgate or whatever it is like that. In Washington, D.C., there's a mall, and it's what the Capitol building is right here. 1 mile down the road is the Lincoln Monument. Right a quarter of a mile back this way is the Washington Monument. And then a quarter of a mile that way is Jefferson Monument. A quarter of a mile this way is the White House. So from the air, it's a big cross, and it's wide, about a block wide or so, or a little bit more than that even. And then there's the buildings of the Smithsonian along the edges and stuff like that. They came in and they occupied that whole thing from top, front to bottom. Right after they did, it started raining, so it turned into a big muddy mess, but they stuck it out. We were on call. We were on alert. If anything happened at that mall, we would be there. And it was like, oh, please, Lord. Don't want to be there. And so we weren't. And I was glad. Bobby Kennedy was another one who got assassinated during that time. That was on June the 6th of 1968. He was going to be wanting to run for president. And somebody took him out of the picture. A lot of things along the racial lines. President Lincoln was involved in the freeing the slaves movement and so on. He was assassinated on April the 15th of 1985. So things just were turmoil. And I was watching Hairspray, all this coming back and remembering what it was like. When we were doing our training, this half that was the agitators, we had balloons of water and we had little bags of flour because we couldn't throw rocks at them. Because we were in the same place with them. But we would throw the water balloons at them and then the flour at them. And it was amazing in this play, practice, when somebody's throwing a water balloon at you or a bag of flour that's breaking all over you, people would get mad. People got hurt because somebody would smack them with their rifle. And it happened. And around the same time was Kent University. How many of you have heard of that? You know, it was another riot that took place, got out of hand, and some people were killed. And I thought about that, and I thought, I can see how that would happen, because I experienced it in training. And it's terrible. It's awful. And so, you know, I look around at the world today, and it's like, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? That person is right there with you. Oh, but I'm in a different state. I'm in a different city. They're still your neighbor. They're still the ones you want to love. And I grew up in Ogden, and I went to Weber High School. And it was not until I got into high school that I ever had an interaction with somebody who was of a different race than me. We had two African Americans in our school. In my class, there was Albert Williams, or Wendell Williams, and then a year later than him was his brother Albert. And it was like, I got in school and was like, oh. Now, Ogden High School, yeah, they had a lot of different people of different nationalities. We had a lot of Hispanics, but we didn't have any black people. And so in 1963, when we were, you know, leaving, we had to nominate the student body president and stuff for the next year. And our school nominated Wendell to be the vice president of the school. That was a very emotional time when he talked about his being the vice president of the school and how in other places that couldn't happen and wouldn't happen. But God calls us to do different things in our lives. So I've gone through all of that. Took part in part of it. And then there was 1978. How many of you know what happened on July 24th, 1978? I know. I was there. I came out. And it was like, okay. And it was scary. It was scary. But, you know, and I was praying about it when I was sitting in the BART station over there praying about it. And the Holy Spirit told me, you're the same person you've always been. You just know who you are. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I thought, well, when I get home, I was considered the perfect little Mormon missionary. I said, people are going to be disappointed. And the Holy Spirit said, it's their problem, not yours. And it was like, oh, okay. So I got home. And the next time I walked into work, people went, he's gay. It's like, you know, one of the guys I worked with says, you came in with a billboard around your neck. I didn't put it there, but it was there. And I can tell you, in 1978, it was not popular to be gay.
Wasn't that the first march on Washington?
Mm-hmm. The first march on Washington.
For gay rights.
Hmm?
For gay rights.
For gay rights, yeah. Yeah. And MCC Church was involved in that. Troy Perry led part of it. And the church started here in 1972. Well, when the church started here in 1972, I wasn't a part of it, but it was not popular. Things happened. Things were vandalized. They up in Sugar House, they met in a house that was up in. The pastor lived in the house, and then one night, somebody torched his car, and they put some bales of hay by the back of the house and set them on fire. Didn't burn the house down, but caused damage. There were people murdered. I lived down here on Kelsey Avenue, and one morning I got up, and there were police cars on the front lawn of my house and the yard and everything, and I thought, what was this? And I went out, and a transgendered prostitute had been murdered and dumped off in front of my house. They had carried the corpse around for 6 hours before they dumped it off in front of my house, or him off in front of my house. I went into work one day, and the lady says, I saw you on television. And I said, okay, I don't remember being on television. What was it about? And they said, unsolved murders. You were talking to a policeman, you're in your scrubs. I thought, oh yeah, out in front of my house. Didn't know I got on TV. But down here by Smith's Marketplace, across the street, there's a little house. Gene lived there. Somebody killed him. People that I know. It was scary at times. My boyfriend and I had an argument one time. One of. And we were coming back this way, and we were by Temple Square, and we hugged and were making up. And somebody went by, threw beer bottles at us, yelled names at us. And you know me, smart mouth. They threw the bottles, and I yelled back, lousy shot! I thought, that was dumb. They could come back. We were here took part in the first Gay-Straight Alliance. We walked with them. They went before the school board. We went down to support them. Vince had a sign talking about his support, and we were inside the school with the school board. And he had it sitting beside him, and somebody from the Tribune took a picture of him. The next day, it ended up on the front page of the paper. His family didn't know, but they found out. But God has guided and directed and helped us to understand who we are, And you know what? I can tell you, let the Holy Spirit tell you who you are. Because once the Holy Spirit tells you who you are, it doesn't matter what other people say. It doesn't matter. We're going to have, I forgot to tell you guys. We're going to have another church meeting here at 2 or 3 o'clock in this afternoon. They are from Burma, I think he said it is. They're Asian. They're going to be coming in and holding here. They've been meeting in somebody's home. And they wanted a space, they needed a space that was bigger, and asked if it were possible maybe to use the facility. And I said, yes. I says, we're here till 2 o'clock. And you can use it then. And so, and they said, okay. And so then I said to them, by the way, how do you feel about gays and lesbians? They're not too keen on the idea. I said, well, our congregation is almost all gay and lesbian. Oh, what about you? I said, yep, I'm gay. I got a husband. Oh, well, we'll see you next Sunday. And it's like, okay, we're going to see how this works out. But you know what? It's another one of those things where it's like, the Lord is working in possibly to open doors and take away discrimination. Will it be easy? No, because it hasn't ended. And we have government officials who are adding to the fire daily. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for them because it tells us to pray for them in Scripture, and we need to do it. Like I say, you know, I have a lot of those. I remember LBJ signing into a law that it's against the law to discriminate, you know, in what he was doing. But, so that was my talk today, remembering this one here was for me because this is a scripture that I pulled up a couple of months ago and have been going back to again and again and again. And I can tell you, when you go back to it, you remember different things. When I went back to what I was going to talk about civil rights and the movement, I remembered different things that took place. Oh, I forgot about that. When I was I junior high? I can't remember. We were downtown. We'd been to the rodeo, and we were standing on the east side of the street in front of the grocery store waiting for my dad to come and get us. And a car pulled in across the street into a hamburger joint, and somebody said, "Wouldn't it be funny if they came over and started a fight and beat us up?" And then they did. It wasn't funny. Being kicked in the face is not funny. My lip was like... My dad says, "What happened?" I lied. I walked into something, a foot. Anyway, anybody got questions, comments you want to share about things that have happened to you in your life? No? Because it's there, and we might have times when we need to share how God's working in our lives to let us know who we are and that the Holy Spirit works in us and guides us and directs us. I think that's what this group may find out. Is that, oh, how does this happen? Would you pray with me? Loving God, thank you. Thank you for bringing to memory all the times that you've worked in people's lives and how that, you know, you called Martin Luther Jr., King Jr., to rally people together, to go against discrimination. And Lord, it cost him dearly. It cost him his life. And it cost many people their lives. But Lord, that hasn't changed. Back in the time when you walked this earth and the apostles went out and preached you to the world, many, 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 many thousands of people, Lord, died because of their trust and their faith in you. And compared to them, Lord, we actually have it kind of easy. But Lord, it's still there. And so, Lord, we pray for the leaders of the state and of the nation. The Lord, they can tune into you, and that somehow people beside them will give them a message of your love. And Lord, the things that are taking place can be torn down because your word says that we can tear it down through your Holy Spirit that lives within us. And so, Lord, we do. We pray for it and just pray for it to change, that we can start again as a nation to reach out to the world with love and compassion and strength for each day, that we will be catalysts of change. And Lord, when those time comes and we have to say things, that we won't be afraid and that your Holy Spirit will guide us and direct us in what we say and what we do. And Lord, we know you're always with us. Lord, sometimes we forget. Help us to remember. Help us to remember how much you love us and how much you care always. And to walk in faith always. In Jesus' name, amen.